Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Sean Dooley, Joy Drive's chief bird nerd.
Good afternoon, Sean Dooley.
Hi, Warren. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. And looking forward to chatting with you again. Sean, I've been wanting to chat with you because I watched a really good documentary. I think it was on ABC. And it was all about shorebirds and them flying. And I think you call them flyaways. They're amazing.
Yes, that's got incredible footage, that documentary. I saw a screening of it at Cinema Nova, and seeing it on the big screen and seeing those pretty small birds when you think about it, and watching them fly from, like, you know, from one of the stars of the show flew from Brisbane to China, another one flew from Chile to Alaska, and another one from Mauritania in Africa all the way to Russia, although the filmmakers couldn't go there because the Ukraine war broke out, so they had to follow another bird flying from up to Alaska from somewhere else. So yeah, and to see those birds travel the globe, it was just a really fantastic documentary.
How do they know where to go? Because I noticed one bird was flying over the Philippines, and there was a massive storm and got blown, you know, thousands of kilometres off course, but then was able to come back. Like, they don't have compasses on them. How do they do it?
Yeah, it's like they've got their own internal GPS unit, and they may actually, some birds may actually have a kind of compass in their head. Like they sort of have almost like the way their brain functions is they've found in pigeons, like homing pigeons, but also some of the shorebirds. I think they've actually found sort of that they can use a kind of like a sixth sense to follow magnetic trails. And they've done this, they put some of these birds in wind tunnels and do things like they cover one eye or they, you know, to see whether it's, you know, how visual it is, that they're cues for migration. But apparently they do follow magnetic fields. That's one of the ways they navigate. Other ways they think they navigate by the stars at night. It's just phenomenal that these birds can make those journeys. And the really amazing thing is that they go to the same breeding grounds to nest every year. And then from there, they fly back often to the same wetland. And the really just mind-boggling thing is for a lot of those shorebirds, the adults leave the Arctic Circle like 6 weeks before the younger birds, and all the juvenile birds manage to fly back without being guided by another experienced bird. And they land in the same swamps or coastal wetlands as their parents. It's just nuts.
So where are they all now? Have they reached their destination by now?
Yes. Well, not all of them. Some, the ones that are either not in good enough shape to make these migrations, because sometimes they're flying 13,000 kilometres to go from Australia to the Arctic. So it takes a lot of energy. And if they're not in peak condition, they just go, bugger that. I'm just going to put my feet up in Australia for a kind of winter holiday. And also some species, the juveniles spend a year or two down here without migrating. But all the others that have been fit and healthy enough and have been able to brave the conditions, and there's been enough sort of refueling stops along the way. That's one of the big crises facing these birds, is all their pit stops have been destroyed by development, coastal development and things like that, all up and down the flyway. And so all of those birds that have managed to beat all those odds, they're currently now, like right now, they'd be sitting on nests or still mating up in the Arctic Circle. It's kind of like the bird equivalent of a Contiki tour. They go to 24-hour sun. They do nothing but eat and shag for the entire time.
No wonder they managed to fly thousands of kilometres for that.
It's their party circuit. A big reward at the end.
We're chatting with Sean Dooley, the National Public Affairs Manager at BirdLife Australia, about the shorebirds. It's interesting because I like the name flyways. It's like, you know, they're roads to the way they travel and they manage to find their destination. Yeah. But you did mention there are some serious threats, aren't there? What are the main threats and what can we do about them to try and help them?
Yeah, definitely. The big threats, it really comes down to habitat availability. And these shorebirds have lost habitat. Well, let's even just talking the ones about the ones in our flyway, which is the East Asian Australasian flyway. And that's basically involves about 27 countries from Alaska and Siberia or Russia, all the way down through China and Southeast Asia to Australia and New Zealand. And those birds, there's about 35 species make the journey every year. And the ones particularly that rely on the Yellow Sea as their main stopover, they have lost 80% of their habitat over the last 30 or 40 years. And surprise, surprise, their population numbers of some of these birds, which used to be really common, have crashed by more than 80% over that time. So what we've got to do now, and we're sort of, you know, BirdLife Australia works with a lot of international partners, and there's a lot of international cooperation along the flyway to try and protect what's left and make sure it's safe. And after decades of disastrous development, China and to a lesser extent South Korea are starting to protect the areas they have left, what is left. But we've got to make sure that that continues, but not just there, but also here. We're still seeing coastal development in particular, but also draining of wetlands and things like that. But development along the coastal wetlands, the mudflats, these birds come in their biggest numbers and variety in the sort of bays and estuaries where the tide goes out, places like Western Port Bay, the southern part of Port Phillip Bay, but all around the coast. And we're still seeing death by a thousand cuts, like a little coastal development here, a sort of infrastructure thing, a gas hub here, that sort of stuff is just losing habitat. And one of the biggest threats happening in Australia at the moment is there's a place called Toondah Harbour near Brisbane, and that's the main ferry across to Stradbroke Island. And under the guise of protecting, of rebuilding those ferry facilities, back in the bad old Campbell Newman days, Candu Campbell, he said, oh, this is a really important development zone. And he basically gave the green light to Walker Corporation, which is one of Australia's biggest property developers, to develop something like a 2,500 apartment complex and marina. And that's actually going to eat into 43 hectares of the internationally significant wetlands on those mudflats where birds like the Eastern Curlew and Bar-tailed Godwit come down and spend the summer. And BirdLife Australia has been working with the community up there for almost 10 years now to try and get this madness stopped, because this is a massive cut of those thousand cuts to the habitat. And so, it's currently before the Federal Environment Minister. Well, it will be. There's an environmental impacts assessment that the developers are holding on to and haven't released. And ultimately, it's going to come down to Tanya Plibersek having the decision to say whether it can go ahead. So,
should we write to Tanya Plibersek?
To try and stop it. Yeah, if people want to find out more and what they can do and where the process is at, then if they go to Act for Birds, all words, not the number four, so actforbirds.org, that's got updates on the Toondah Harbour campaign. But so that's our number one issue at the moment in Australia. But there's still places like in Botany Bay and sort of Port Hacking in Sydney. They're doing dredging of habitat and disturbing the birds when they're here. And down in Victoria, we've got potentially a gas processing hub proposed for the southern part of Port Phillip Bay. If that was to go ahead, it's right opposite a major shorebird habitat. It's going to be a disaster. So there's those sorts of things. But also, if you're out on the beach or that sort of stuff, the quality of the habitat is habitat where they don't get disturbed. So if you do see these, especially in summer, if you see these sort of brown birds feeding out on the beach or out on the mudflats, you know, put your dog on a leash or don't sort of run into them and make them fly off, because they just burn up the energy that they need to make their migration.
And I'd encourage everyone to see the documentary. Someone just said, what was the name of it? I think it's called Flyways, isn't it, Sean?
Yes, it's called Flyways. It's a really beautiful, beautiful documentary. It's a bit depressing at times because it outlines the challenges these birds face, but it's also just, it's a great way of just experiencing the wonder of their migration. There's also a little mini documentary on ABC iView at the moment that aired over the weekend, and it's called Wing Threads. And it's about a former colleague of mine, Millie Thornby, who has built herself a microlight aeroplane, and she's travelling around Australia following the route of the shorebirds and talking to community groups and schools about the plight that shorebirds are in. And there's it's a little 10-minute documentary on iView, and if you watch very closely, you might even see the Birdman. I do make an appearance at one point.
we'll definitely look out for that. Sean, unfortunately, we've run out of time, but it's always good to chat with you. That website, again, is actforbirds.org.au, so get onto that. And the documentary is Flyways, well worth having a look at. Sean, great to chat with you. We'll talk to you again next month.
I look forward to it, as always, Warren.
Thank you. Sean Dooley, the National Public Affairs Manager at BirdLife Australia.
Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.